Paul's favorite theme in his letters was describing how God's grace comes into our life and changes us. That grace comes to us only through Jesus Christ. And when we accept that grace by obeying Him and understand what it means in our lives, we're filled with relief and joy from forgiveness, and we can't help but change our behavior. Now, that change that the grace makes is going to show up in several ways in our lives. We're told in Colossians 1, starting in verse 10, we pray this in order that you might live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way. How is the grace going to show up? Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father. You see, if we understand what God has given us, we're going to bear fruit. We're going to grow. We're going to be strengthened with power so that we can have endurance and patience and deal with the things we have to deal with in this life. And we'll give thanks to God for the things that are going on around us because we see His hand in them. And those changes come about because He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. You see, we have a new ruler in our lives. It's not our own desires. It's not Satan controlling things anymore. But the truth and life and light of God is allowing us to see things the way they really are. Paul says it this way in Romans 6 and verse 16. He says, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you're slaves of the one you obey? Whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed that form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You've been set free from sin to become slaves to righteousness. You see, Paul says we've been set free from slavery to sin to become slaves of righteousness. What does he mean by that? Well, he means that we don't have to do what everybody else does. We don't have to follow the crowd. We don't have to fit in and be acceptable to those around us. We have the right to decide who we're going to follow. We have the right to choose to follow God instead of what everybody else does. In Romans 6 and verse 3, we're told, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. When we become a Christian, we get a new life. We've been given a whole new beginning. It's sort of like being born again, as the Scripture says. But then Paul goes on and he tells us that making the change from the old life to the new life isn't always as easy as it might seem. And he uses his own life as an example. In the next chapter, in Romans 7, he says this, starting in verse 18. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it's no longer I who do it, but sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Whenever I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Paul says, I face daily struggles just trying to do what's right. I know what I ought to do, but I don't always do it. I was talking to a fellow who's not here this week. Unfortunately, I wish he was. But he wasn't feeling good today. And he told me, he said, you know, when I became a Christian, I struggle. I know what I ought to do. I know what I want to do. I know what the Scripture says I should do, but I don't always do it. I keep messing up. Am I all right? Is that normal? Well, Paul says, yes, it is. Paul said, I'm doing this. Now remember, this is Paul. This is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul with his dramatic conversion. The Apostle Paul who was hit by the light as he was on his way to Damascus. The Apostle Paul who was blinded and praying and fasting for 3 days in Damascus. He was repenting. Ananias comes and lays his hands on him and gives him his sight back and tells him to have his sins washed away in baptism. And he does. This is Paul with his great zeal for the Lord and going out and preaching, and yet people rejecting him, and he gets beaten and even stoned himself once. And yet he saw God save him from his enemies time after time. All that happened to Paul, and yet he says, those old ways keep hanging on. Paul's change to his new life was certainly not easy. Maybe you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and been baptized to gain the forgiveness of your sins. You read your Bible. You come to worship. But you're not sure you've seen that much change in you. I mean, you don't feel any different. And Satan begins to whisper stuff to you. Stuff like, you see, this religion stuff is just a scam. There's really nothing to it. You tried God and it hadn't made any difference in your life, Satan says. And a lot of people fall into his trap. They expected when they became a Christian that God would take away all their troubles, all their old ways, all their old habits, all their old problems. And yet they still struggle with them. And so they say, what's going on? Remember when you first became a Christian, you prayed regularly, you studied your Bible, you came to every service you could, but as time passed, you began to slip back into the old ways and the old habits. Maybe you watch TV. And you've heard about dramatic testimonies, a conversion on TV, people changing from wicked, terrible situations in life. In an instant, their old lives drop away and they become celebrities on TBN. But that's not what Paul says happens. Paul says God's grace transforms us, not that way, but it transforms us slowly in small steps. Little changes. Day by day, made over and over again, rededicating our lives when we fall, getting back up and renewing our commitment to Him. After a while, we can look back and see how far we've come. Sort of like walking on a beach. You look back and you see, wow, I've come a long way. You didn't realize at the time, but it's just one step at a time. Or like going on a diet, dropping one cookie, one helping at a time, 1 pound at a time. Even for the Apostle Paul, it was a continuing struggle. You know, the switch from sin, slavery to sin, to slavery to righteousness is not immediate or easy as a lot of people assume it is. Evil is more extensive than we like to admit. And wrong thoughts and motives often creep back in. Sometimes we just push them under the rug and don't think about them. Jesus told his disciples to pray for those who hate them, to be kind to those who persecute them. And yet we find people today who won't even admit that there are people who don't like them. People who expect that when they become Christians, everybody's just going to love me. And when it doesn't happen that way, they're shocked. And they say, you expect me to pray for them? Yes, Jesus says. Maybe people just refuse to recognize the power of Satan that's actually around us. You see, God says that if we're going to change, if we're going to become the kind of people He wants us to be, that we have to work at changing. We have to make every effort to live right. It's not going to be easy. We have to dedicate ourselves to being what God wants. We have to work at it. But then Satan comes along. And Satan says, oh, all you have to do is make a few minor changes. You don't have to do anything big. Just modify your life a little bit. And being a Christian is no big deal. It doesn't matter. You see, and people listen to Satan. They buy into what he's saying. They're torn back and forth. Do I listen to God? Do I listen to Satan? Which is right? But God takes evil so seriously that he paid the price to take it away by dying on the cross for us. So we wouldn't be surprised when change is a major struggle for us and we have to work at changing. We have to make every effort to live the way he wants us to live. We have to dedicate ourselves to being what he wants us to be. You see, if you have an old rundown house and somebody buys it, you can say, well, it's under new ownership now. Well, that's true. It's under new ownership, but to make it free from rot and decay and restore it to usefulness, it's going to take a major undertaking, a major renovation. There are things in it that have to be removed and replaced with new, and that takes time. And we see a similar thing in our lives. We're under the ownership of Christ now, but there's a lot of rebuilding we need to do in our lives. A lot of old things that need to be removed and replaced by new things. We're still under construction. We're still in the process of being restored. And when we understand that, that it takes time, that it's going to be a struggle, that we have to work at it, when we understand our new ownership, then the places in our lives where we're still having trouble bothers us. The more we want to serve God, the more we're aware of the changes that we need to make. Because we see the things that aren't right. I know what I ought to do. I know what I should be doing, but I don't do it. And so I know I need to change there. The more we try to stay faithful, and the more Satan's going to try to muddy the waters, make it difficult for you. The higher our expectations, the more you worry about making mistakes, the closer you're going to get to God. And the more we see the things around us that are against him, you know, we look at our world and we see everything that is against the Lord. Everything seems to be working in the opposite direction. And we would say, how can we ever be the people God wants us to be? But then grace comes in and changes us. Through the blood of Jesus, our ownership is transferred to God. We read in 2 Corinthians 12, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. He set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. You see, Jesus is our new owner. God gave us his spirit as our guarantee. He says, you're under my control now. But you know, that transfer of the ownership from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, as Colossians 1:13 tells us, rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. It's not easy. It takes time. It takes work. It takes effort. It's not something that happens instantly. But you see, men are looking for a place where it will happen right away. You know, that's why they came up with the idea of purgatory. Because no matter how much we try in this life, we're never going to reach perfection. I mean, we can keep working at it and doing our best, and yet we still mess up. We still fail from time to time, and we say, Lord, I can't do it. And so people came up and with the idea, well, if we can't do it in this life, we'll just invent a place where that little bit that we can't do gets taken away. So they come up with this idea of purgatory, which is an invention of the minds of men and completely against the scriptures. Nothing in the scripture says anything about that. As a matter of fact, the scriptures tell us that it's the righteousness of Jesus that takes away our imperfection. That God knows that we sin. Matter of fact, we're told if we say we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and the truth isn't in us. God knows the way we are and he sent his son to make us righteous. Not in purgatory, not by suffering, but because he paid the price for us on the cross, his perfection overcomes our imperfection. His perfectness covers our imperfectness. As we're told in Romans 1:7, for in the gospel, righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. You see, his righteousness becomes our righteousness. Romans 3, verse 22, this righteousness comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Jesus Christ. God presented him as the sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. Jesus pays the price for us. Jesus' perfection covers our imperfection. 1 Corinthians 1:30, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. He is what makes us right, not suffering in purgatory. And 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, when we are a Christian, when we are in Jesus, he is our righteousness. God looks at us and sees him, sees Jesus and his righteousness. Have you ever gotten discouraged in your walk with the Lord? You know what you ought to be and you, come on, Lord, help me change. And yet you still struggle. Change is happening more slowly than you hope. The Hebrew writer tells us this in Hebrews 12, verse 3. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men. Even Jesus had to put up with struggles so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you've not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Nobody's killed you because you're a Christian yet. Keep fighting. Don't give up. Keep going. Renew your commitment. Or if you never obeyed the gospel plan in the first place and had your sins forgiven. If you've not obeyed the gospel, if you've not done what the scripture said, then you don't belong to God. You're still a slave to Satan. You belong to him. He's your owner. And if Satan is your owner, you're going to go where Satan goes, and he's going to end up spending eternity in hell. The question is, who's our master? Romans 6:16, don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you're slaves to the one you obey, slaves to sin, which leads to death? If you're not a Christian, all you have to look forward to is eternal death away from God. But if you obey, then you have righteousness. You have the righteousness of Jesus attributed to you, not because you're so good, but because of he is, because he lived righteous. And God attributes his righteousness to us. You gain that new ownership offered by the blood of Jesus. He becomes our master then. In John 8:31, to the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples. Then you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, what is the truth, Jesus? What do we need to do in order to be set free? Jesus said in John 6:29, the work of God is this, to believe in the one that he sent. We must believe Jesus is God's son. We must repent of our sins. Jesus said in Luke 13:5, unless you repent, you too all perish. We must confess our faith in him. Jesus said, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Matthew 10:32-33. And you must be baptized, immersed in water to contact the saving blood of Christ. As Jesus said in Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. That's the truth that Jesus said. Won't you begin the process? Won't you obey him? You see, Jesus has promised to be with you always. And if he's with us, he'll help us change. Not because we're perfect, not because we do everything right, but because he has the power to change us day by day, little by little, by his power, not ours. If we depend on our power, we're not going to make it. We can't make the changes. It's only by his power that we can change. Let him change you into the person who shows others the difference that he can make in your life. Let him be the one who makes the difference. If you need to come to the Lord, won't you come to him this morning as we stand together and sing our invitation song?